Hello, everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Colts. It has been a very long time coming. I know it has been a little bit of a hiatus for us, but it's for a very good reason. I have been out and about back in Arizona. If you guys don't know, I live in Arizona for the time being. I have a day job out there that I do. It's been a very busy time for that. But anyways, we are back to do Locked On Colts, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Sidery, and today we are back, and we're finally back for the good now, because from now until the end of the season, we're going to be with you pretty much every day of the week, outside maybe a few days here and there. We have all of our guest lineup, if you didn't know. If you haven't seen our tweets, go ahead and follow us over at Locked On Colts. Your support over there is very much appreciated. As always, we're getting close to 1,000 followers, but if you guys haven't heard by now, our weekly schedule of guests lined up, or monthly guests, I should put it as well. George Bremer of the Herald Bulletin, who's the Colts beat writer over in Anderson, he will be on every week for us. We also have Zach Hicks of Stampede Blue, who's a regular contributor here on Locked On Colts. He'll be on weekly with us as well. We also have Cody Felger, who I met yesterday at the Colts training camp. We're getting to training camp thoughts in just a minute here, but Cody Felger, I met him as well. He is going to be on weekly with us as well. And we also have Kevin Bowen, who is a very, very good writer and podcaster for 1070 The Fan. He is going to be with us bi-weekly probably throughout the season as well. And Jake Arthur of Colts.com, a really nice guy Jake is. I met him as well yesterday at Colts training camp. He'll be on with us weekly as well throughout the season. So we have a really stacked lineup for you guys throughout the season, starting from now until the end of the season, which hopefully lasts till February. But might as well dive into my initial thoughts. We're going to have a different episode today. It's going to be mostly just me in this first segment talking about my open thoughts from what I saw yesterday at training camp. I was credentialed through the Indianapolis Colts for Locked On Podcast Network. I'll go over my thoughts with you guys as well throughout that in the next 5 to 10 minutes. But after I speak through this first segment, we're going to actually go through the interviews. If you missed out on them, maybe you watched them on Colts.com already. But this is actually my own audio that I used. It got multiple interviews yesterday with Jim Irsay, Nick Sirianni, Matt Eberflus, Eric Ebron, Ryan Kelly, and Bobby Okereke. It's going to be about 30, 35 minutes of audio for you guys. So we're going to go through that in a little bit. But I wanted to wrap up just my original thoughts on what I saw yesterday at Colts training camp. First time I've ever been credentialed for training camp, so I really appreciate the Colts PR staff for doing that. Hopefully it's a lot more of that coming for you guys very soon. But I want to start off with just my biggest winners and losers and what I saw from training camp yesterday, because I think for me what stood out is just how, I know this is kind of a generic thing to say, but it's how big these guys are. I mean, you see it on TV all the time, but when you see it, their physical dimensions, like the corners and the wide receivers, is what stood out to me really immediately, just the wingspans of those guys. Obviously, it's very prioritized for those positions, but the freakish physical trait that these guys have on the field, like Quentin Nelson is a lot bigger than I thought he'd be. I knew he was huge. Brayden Smith's a lot bigger than I thought he'd be. Paris Campbell's a legit 6 footer, even 6'1". He's eye to eye with me, so those concerns about his height are kind of overblown in my opinion. He's a legit 6 footer. Deion Kane looked very good as well. I think Deion Kane might be the biggest winner from Saturday's practice for me, because he made a lot of good plays 11 months after he tore his ACL. Really, I wanted to go through one play. I couldn't tweet this out because during the live period and we weren't allowed to do that, but Deion Kane had one play where he caught the ball about 30 yards down the field from Chad Kelly, juked out three guys in the way to the end zone for a touchdown, and that's when I knew right then and there his knee was fine. He's 100%. I think he's a guy who, in the right opportunity, he could really break out. I'm not putting a lot of expectations for Deion Kane this year in 2019-20, but if Devin Funchess is only a one-year rental, if they want to play the comp pick game with Devin Funchess, maybe another guy on the roster as well, I think Deion Kane has all the ingredients to be a really good wide receiver in the NFL from what I saw yesterday. He's a legit bona fide sleeper, in my opinion, and he could be a guy in 2020 who really breaks out on the scene. But Paris Campbell is another guy I want to hit on really quickly with you guys as well, because Paris Campbell, a lot of people for some reason were really against his route running ability at Ohio State. They only said he could do maybe just some bubble routes, just some short stuff around the line of scrimmage. No, he can do a lot more than that. He could be a legit X or Z receiver down the line. He ran all the routes. We were on the field yesterday, ran all the outside routes as well as the slot routes. He can do all that, and his speed is blazing, I can tell you. 4.31 in person is very, very telling, and he can definitely do that on the field. But I wanted to also note as well with the Paris Campbell, his addition. This is a really good stat I found from Evan Silva over at RotoWorld, who was on the podcast in May, about Paris Campbell. And what I found intriguing about him was just the fit in the offense, which really after the draft and more you dive into him and the advanced stats, Paris Campbell makes even more sense to this team. I know JV3, who we've had on multiple times, is a very big Paris Campbell guy, very big on Paris Campbell. He was really the first one on that, and he noticed to me, I think, a long time ago as well. But it was reiterated by Evan Silva yesterday, and he said, the 2018 Colts ran screen plays at one of the NFL's highest rates, but were among the league's least effective screen play teams. No wide receiver in college football averaged more yards per target on screens in 2018 than Paris Campbell. So if we put all that together, I think Paris Campbell could have a really big year out of the slot. it really remains to be seen what his numbers could be. I could really see 50, 60 catches, probably around 700, 800 yards, maybe 4 or 6 touchdowns. I think that's a realistic line for Paris Campbell, but I'm really excited just what I saw yesterday from the skill positions. I think especially Deion Cannon and Paris Campbell, I think those guys over the next 3 or 4 years could be a legit duo down the line once T.Y. ages out, maybe once Devin Funchess maybe isn't here anymore. Who knows? Maybe Funchess could break out on the scene. He had a good day too, but I think Paris Campbell, even though he had some drops on special teams, I think just from a wide receiver standpoint, he did really well yesterday. Also, Deion Cannon did really well. I think Deion Cannon was the star of the day, but the defense was the big winner of the day, if you want to go into that as well. The defense really dominated them, and it really wasn't that close. Justin Houston had some sacks. Sterling Shippey, the UDFA, did well. A lot of guys did really well for them, and it really wouldn't surprise me if Andrew Luck keeps sitting out with his calf strain. Harris being super precautious with that. Wouldn't shock me at all if the defense continues to dominate there, because it really wasn't close in that team setting yesterday. So there really isn't much else to run through with you guys as far as this, because we're, like I said, we're back every day pretty much throughout the rest of the season. Just want to let you guys know the current situation with the podcast. And also just my initial quick takeaways from yesterday. The big winners for me were Deion Cannon, Paris Campbell, outside of the special team stuff, and the defense. I think another sleeper guy was Ashton Doolin, another wide receiver. I know a lot of people from Malone were really excited about the video I tweeted out. He's a guy who maybe makes the practice squad. He's a very freakish athlete. He was one of the guys who tested really well in Spark and Raz. And he's a guy who could really make an instant impact maybe down the line in special teams. Or maybe even a guy who grows into a bigger role. Who knows? But a lot of interesting names to follow through. I know I'm going to be at training camp a lot over the next couple weeks. Hopefully I'm credentialed again for you guys. I'll let you guys know on that. But until then, I'll talk to you guys later this week. I just want to run through some quick thoughts and be really quick on training camp and also the podcast. But let's dive into our interviews now with Jim Irsay, Nick Sirianni, Matt Eberflus, Eric Ebron, Ryan Kelly, and Bobby Okereke.
You know, this is really exciting times in my book because, you know, I know, Bob, you wrote about it, and it's true, you know. But, you know, look, we don't want – I made T-shirts up about a decade ago and said, you know, don't let the good be the enemy of the great, because that's what we're looking to be. It's not a commitment to excellence. Excellence means, by Webster's Dictionary, very good. What we want is a commitment to greatness, which means you distinguish yourself as the single team standing. And I can attest, look at, you guys remember 2009, we won 14 in a row, you know, had it all set up, and what a season, right? Boy, I tell you, one of the most bitter disappointments we ever faced, because, you know, that's the way it is when you don't win the last game. And we know most of the time you don't win the last game, but the years you do, you know, White House and Parade, on and on and on it goes. But we're just focused. We're focused on the task at hand, which is meaning today getting better on the field, focusing for our home opener. Our away opener in this case, and being ready for that. So I like the health of the team. You know, we, Dave Hammer's report to me was very short, which is always good. We've had one situation that popped up, but beyond that, it's excellent. And Andrew's excellent. He's happily married, waiting for the baby to come and all that kind of stuff. So I couldn't be more excited, guys, but answer a question away.
Jim, you've experienced good seasons, bad seasons, great seasons. At this time of year, on those good or great seasons, what has been sort of, are there any sort of common characteristics that you're seeing or feeling right now?
Yeah, I think that it's really kind of an intuitive thing, and you sense the way your general manager and head coach is flowing. Certainly where your quarterback's at, because everyone here knows Andrew stays healthy and has a great year, we're going to have a great year. It's almost impossible to imagine us not having a great year if Andrew has a great year. So, but we know there's much more than that. We know it's about running the football. We also know how we used to talk about the offensive line and the concerns. Now it's become a strength. Now it's one of the best 3 or 4 offensive lines in the league, and I think that's without question. And not only does it have excellence at the starting five, but it has depth. And the defensive line, you know, that has a lot of depth, it has talent, and with Houston here, I mean, it really just is a game changer. And then all of a sudden, Doyle's back, Kane's back. I mean, those are big, big bonuses. Those are like signing free agents, quite frankly. They weren't here. So that's very exciting. And just you can sense the air of confidence. But look, we got to prove it. You know, you open that season and the ball goes in the air, you get smashed in the mouth and the game's on, and you got to go get it. You got to take it. And as Bill Walsh used to say, you got to beat him to the punch. So, yeah, there's definitely that feeling that is everywhere, including the fans, which is the most important element of their excitement, and they can sense it.
Can you mention, Jim, when you look at the fact this is the first time in his career he's had the same offensive line two straight years, second time he's had the same offensive system in his career two straight years, how much better can he get having all this continuity, really, that he hasn't had in his career?
I think it can be outstanding. Obviously, you know, they all want to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. That doesn't happen very much. I know Andrew only wants to win because he's a team player. And it's something where it sets up special for him, because all of a sudden, you're adding, Paris to the mix. You're adding, like I said, Doyle's backs, Kane's back, Funches. I mean, my gosh, I mean, that's a dynamic change to the positive. Plus, what I always said, you guys know I've mentioned it, keeping this team together, which we have completely together in the offseason. So when you make additions, it's not subtraction, addition, subtraction, addition, and you're kind of where you started from. No, this is all exciting stuff because it's extremely positive, and some of these guys can excel rookie year at their positions. So it's really going to be exciting. And again, I can't emphasize enough my praise, honestly, for Chris Ballard and Frank Reich. It's really just an outstanding team we have there with those two men leading us. And it surely makes my job a lot easier, from some days gone by, which are many. So it's very exciting, guys.
Jim, you mentioned you talked to Dave Hammer with a short list with one instant. Is it Jabal shared? Is there any update on him?
I think Coach should address that. I think, I know he's going to, be fine and play this season and all that sort of thing. I'm check with Coach on what, he wants to discuss, but it's certainly not a season-ending injury, Mike, or nothing like that. So it's just probably stood out as unusual because, seriously, Dave on his report was pretty much, they all passed physical and no issues right now. I'm like, really? That's awesome, because these days they come with all these terms, chondral defects. I mean, that stuff wasn't even there 30 years ago. I don't know where all this stuff came from. I mean, honest to God, it's incredible. But, hey, these guys train and, like Olympic athletes. And, I think like even the combine's almost the season itself, how they get ready for that and that explosive activity that they go through. So yeah, Mike, I really think so far so good. It's obviously early. But, we're excited about Buffalo Thursday night game. It's always exciting, your first game to start it off. Obviously going to Los Angeles for the openers where we're focused.
Jim, you've done this for a long time. You've seen a lot of teams in training camp early. Does this team have what it takes in your mind to get to Miami at the end?
It does. I don't think we shy away from that, but we also know, and Chris and coaches say the same thing, is that, you got to be confident. I mean, you have to have confidence, but it's tempered with the fact that, there's so much that has to happen. What I'd like to see us do, and it's not an essential, but it certainly would be helpful, is to see this team get home field advantage. We're two games away from the Super Bowl, and hopefully they're both home games, at least if one of them are. You get the bye week. That is a huge advantage, big advantage. And, you guys know we got it in 2000, 2010. Multiple times, and we didn't always take advantage of it, but that's what you want to do. I can remember sitting here with Bill Polian and Tony Dungy saying, after 2002 against the Jets, hey, we got to we got to get home field advantage now. We got to get off the road. We don't want to play on the road and be that fifth or sixth wild card team if we can. So that's a tall order. Most people say, hey, you got to probably win at least 12 games, and they're right. So that's very difficult. But, you know, we look at that, and you know, quite frankly, I think everyone aspires to win the Super Bowl going to training camp, or he wouldn't even show up. From an owner's standpoint, being really realistic, you know, this team is one of the best teams that I've had the privilege to bring to our fans with the general manager, head coach, and have a situation that honestly matches some of those days of Peyton, Edger, and Reggie, all those guys. But, you know, those guys were special, and, you know, you had the booking rushers and all that stuff. So we need to have some of these young guys emerge. That's very important for us to really become great.
What's the biggest thing Chris Ballard's changed in the 3 years since he took over, in your mind?
I would say not just very structured in the way he's gone about his work, but that it's purposeful and structured. He knows what he wants. He knows he has to be organized to get it, and he has a process that he goes through for success, and it's a discipline process. So he really is remarkable, and just tremendous energy, loves his job, and you know, really, really is a guy, like I told you guys, I think, you know, is one of the best GMs of this early part of this century, and I hold by that.
Jim, you're heading into your 25th year as owner. How have you and your ownership philosophy evolved since you started in this position?
Well, I would say that you become more wise, more mature, because you have a chance to see more, take in more, observe more. And, you know, I don't think we can ever say we've seen it all, but, you know, I've seen many a different scenarios emerge. So, you know, Bob, I think it's a blessing. Just having had my 60th birthday, where I'm still, you know, young enough where I can really have the energy to do what I need to do with this, with the team and other parts of my business world life. But with this football team, those 25 years have really been invaluable, because it's not like a trial and error thing happens, but in essence it does, you know. And you learned that just how important it is, more than ever, and I know it's a simple concept, but you have to have unity at the top, you have to have harmony at the top, you have to have two people that are communicating and have not only have the same goals, because, you know, everyone always has the same goals about winning, but also going about it in a way that they're together on the process and disciplined. Look at Frank's schedule, is very detailed. He already knows what time practice is going to start 17 days from now. You know, I can't make a tee time and know that, much less be that organized. But these guys are, and they're right at that sweet spot age, great experience, tremendous still youth for those guys. And so for me, Bob, I tell you, it's been a blessing. You know, I go to league meetings now, and quite frankly, there's no one left in the room. I mean, Mike Brown's the only guy, and he hasn't been to every meeting, but he's the only guy that was there in 81 for my first meeting. And so that's been strange to see, you know, the time pass, and all of a sudden, all these guys that were like uncles to me or even fathers, you know, being gone. So, you know, I take the responsibility very serious. I really do. I know. The beautiful thing about this thing is how much it means to our fans, and it means that much to me. And it's just so important to define yourself through your work here. And we're so blessed to have so much interest in our game, and we do not take that lightly. So not only with the Colts, but I think with the league, you know, Wellington Mirror's words echo in my mind, you know, hey, don't forget the game. You have to manage the game, make the game great. That's the essence of what we do, and the rest will follow. So so I couldn't be more excited, Bob. I think it's really exciting. Obviously, Andrew's in that sweet spot era for him, age-wise, and there's really not a lot of weakness, you know, here with the roster, only excitement about some of these guys coming back. So, you know, really, I'm very excited, and you know, it's hard to start saying, you know, what are your goals for the whole decade coming up, 2020 here coming soon and all that stuff, but you stay focused into this year. And so it's a tough opening schedule, going on the road twice, particularly with the Chargers. And I think for what we want to do, it's very important to get off to a good start. And, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth because he's not here anywhere, but I can hear Bill Pauley and Aquin, if he was with me now, he'd say, well, we're going to be 1-1. That's good enough. You know, we got the Chargers on the road. We can't win that one. It's like, Bill, be more optimistic than that, for God's sake. You're the general manager. You know, he cracked me up that way. Deep down he was, but, like, I think he had to get those thoughts out in the open so they didn't bother him so much. But we want to go and, you know, get to 1-0, Bob. I believe, honestly, on the road in L.A., it's almost like 1.5-0, because it would be a huge win. And your first win is so important. You get that, you know, monkey off your back about, you know, all of a sudden if you go 0-2, you know, you guys start reeling out the, you know, the stats on only this many teams gone 0-2 and made to the Super Bowl, etc. And so we have to grab the momentum early. And we've been dealt a tough card there. And, you know, quite frankly, I think I'm not happy that we did not get a home national game. I mean, we should have gotten that. We didn't. Obviously, we have national games on the road, but we love them here, obviously, for many reasons. So Bob, I've evolved, more gray hair, more grandchildren, and so it's been an evolution that's been really blessed, you know, just to be able to, you know, chalk up more years to experience. And you're always learning, though. Never stop learning in this position of ownership, that's for sure.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
The number of offensive weapons that you guys potentially had is keeping everybody happy.
Yeah, you know, you always want to get guys involved. And always the biggest issue is going to be, you know, one game or a couple games in a row, a guy might not be involved. And that can be the biggest issue, just some guy not getting in touch. But what I believe that Frank preaches, and then we turn around as coaches and preach right back again, is we got to love our teammates and love each other. That's what the best teams win games, not the best individuals. Best teams win games. So, Frank sets the tone. I'm saying, hey, we grow as a group. We grow this continuity at camp. And I think it's just preaching that every day. And then I think you just see guys genuinely being happy for each other when they make plays.
When you have a quarterback like Andrew, where you look at, he's dealt with guys going down throughout his career and stuff through injuries, it seems like he's one of those guys that simply knows the mindset of whoever the opponent is going to get the ball.
Yeah. And I think that's what good quarterbacks do. Yeah. Good quarterbacks know, hey, when my best guy's over there and 1-on-1, I'm going to take that matchup. But if they're taking it away, I'm going to take what the defense gives me. And that's how you play winning football as a quarterback. And I believe that's what the best quarterbacks like Andrew do.
And there's times when player A or player B is not getting the ball as much as they want, you have to go to them and say, be patient. I mean, have you had to do that?
Sure. And that's a common thing. And you know, we try to get them going the very next drive. You know, I remember, you know, Frank's great about that. Really, as he calls the plays. You know, I remember a couple times last year where, you know, T.Y. didn't have a catch with the first two drives, and he just got him a quick touch, and he got it going. You know, T.Y. got it going for our offense. So, you know, Frank's great about that. Really understands that and feels that on the sideline. He's got a great feel as a play caller.
I know it's early, but what are your impressions of Ben and Paris Campbell? Will you try to slot first and then spread him out? Is that what you did the plan?
Yeah. He's been primarily inside so far. But when we go 12 personnel sets, he has to go outside. So he's getting work at both. He's playing the Z position and the F position, you know, because in 12 personnel he's playing the F position or Z position, and in 11 personnel he's playing the F. So he's getting all the work, and he's a very conscientious guy that pays attention, and I can just see the little steps that he's making each day to get better.
Nick, how difficult is it to judge your offense when Andrew is not out there?
Oh, I think, you know, I think we get a great judge against a great defense like our defense. So I think we're evaluating, and obviously we want Andrew out there, and we know what he can do, but I don't think it affects us as far as our evaluation process, especially when those pads went on today and we were able to, you know, bang around a little bit and see what our guys up front were doing in our tight ends and our backs.
What were some of your takeaways from the first day in pads?
I thought, I haven't watched the film yet, and it's never as good as you think, it's never as bad as you think, but I believe that, it made a very big emphasis on running the football today when the pads came on, and I thought our guys played physical. I thought our guys were on the same page. I didn't feel like, we had a couple of times we weren't on the same page as far as who we were going to, and I think Coach Strauss has really, really cleaned that up, and I think we were on the same page, so we got a hat for a hat, and I felt like we were moving it a little bit, running the football, so I was pleased.
Strasser and they do things a little bit different in the passing game. How does that change, what the pocket's going to look like and stuff for Andrew?
Well, hopefully not a lot, because he didn't get sacked very much last year. No, they teach the technique that they teach is similar. It's similar to, the pocket's going to be similar. I feel like it was firm last year in the middle, and it's going to be firm this year in the middle, and I haven't noticed a big difference there what the quarterback needs them. Mm-hmm.
When you have the depth of the skill position that you have, does it help you maybe force the tempo a little bit more too as you start the ball?
Yeah, because you can sub it in and out, and we're always, we always believe that we go in with a plan to, we're huddling some or we're not huddling some. We go, and that's been no matter what personnel we've had, it's just we felt like that's been the best style for our offense. And having guys like that, when you have depth, obviously you're able to sub them in and out. They can tap their head and they come out and the next guy doesn't miss a beat. And that's obviously a huge advantage to have guys that can just go, sub guys in, keep them fresh and while the defense is tired.
How do you evaluate how Jacoby has done with the starting unit spring and now the first couple days here?
Yeah, I think he's had a great, being the second year in the offense, I believe he has a great command of the offense. And knowledge of the offense, the plays just come out of his mouth a lot quicker, a lot faster, and that's hard, because he had all those reps last year. He didn't have the reps during the season, and then he had to jump back into it. And it felt like when he had the reps during OTAs, he was just, and obviously now it was just a lot simpler for him. So that's what's great about Jacoby. He was a backup quarterback, didn't have the reps during the season, but he grew. He grew because he studied. He grew because he was the right-hand man for Andrew, and he grew just because of the kind of pro he is, and that's what you expect out of your backups to develop the good depth.
I assume you're encouraged by Jack Doyle being out here, not today, but the progress he's made and what he brings to the offense.
Oh, gosh, yeah. He is a true pro, and he brings a consistency. I think the best players I've been around are consistent, and he might not be the flashiest guy, but he gets his job done, and he does it the right way. I really believe that he leads by an example, and when you see, you're able to teach off those good things. You're able to teach off bad things too, but when a guy's doing it exactly the way it's supposed to be done and he's getting his job done, it's very good visual for everyone to see in the meeting. Hey, this is how you're supposed to do it on this outside zone when we're sealing this edge. And Jack's a great example for that.
You got two Pro Bowl tight ends with Ian Ebron. Have you seen two guys at that level so different in personalities, or do we only see the one side of Jack?
Yeah, they are different. They are different. But you know what? That's what makes them. That's what makes them connect. That's what makes them connect. They're great friends, and I know Eric's gotten better because of Jack, and I know Jack's gotten better because of Eric. They bring this together, and it's good that they have those two different styled personalities. I love it.
What would you describe Jack's personality?
Let's see.
Beyond quiet.
Clint
Eastwood. He's not as quiet. He just hard nosed, grinding out. But he's a fun guy to be around. I enjoy being around him. He's always, hey, good morning, how you doing? He likes to joke around when it's time to joke around. So, and Eric likes to talk.
You didn't
ask me about Eric, but Eric likes to talk. So they complement each other well.
Last question, Bob.
How can Eric possibly elevate his game, and what maybe subtle ways can he improve on last year?
I think it's always you always look at the tape of the season and you evaluate that and you say, man, if I just caught these couple more, and it's just being, and it
getting out of the break a little cleaner at the top to separate more, because he's such a great athlete. He's going to be able to separate as long as he's clean with his footwork at the top. You know, kept finishing in traffic, and he did a great job of that. He had a lot of touchdowns that the guy was right on him, but just all the catches, you know, just finishing on all the catches. And it's just steady improvements to your entire game day by day. And Eric, I believe, is putting in the work to do that.
I thought the guys went hard. I thought they executed well. And, you know, just various battle positions and stuff like that, I think it's going well. You know, I think the guys are really focusing on their job. We don't have a whole lot in right now. It's only the third day of install, so we'll see how it goes. Some of the younger guys are still working on what to do and not necessarily how to do in terms of technique and fundamentals, but that's a normal progression.
Is it difficult for a rookie who's spent most of his college career in man-to-man to learn to play zone? And how's Rock doing kind of in that transition?
I think Rock is doing outstanding. I think when you have techniques that you've learned in college and played for a few years, you're always going to adjust that to the pro game or whatever system you're going into. It could have been vice versa. You know, if he was playing a lot of zone and also now he's got to play man. So we play all the coverages. So he's going to have to learn all the techniques.
What are you guys missing?
The first couple of days unfolded just at that corner position. We have, you know, significant competition, right? It feels like.
Yeah, you know, I think it's too early to tell. You know, the spring went well. I think, you know, Rock is doing a nice job. And, you know, his coverage is good. And he's just got to learn the nuances of the position. And, you know, Jonathan is working with him close.
But even beyond Rock, though, just that group. I mean, you've got two guys are sort of entrenched there, yeah. One and two, but you've got sure. A deep group, it feels like.
Yeah, there's a couple guys there. We're just trying to find out, like I said, in the spring, you know, who that one guy is, who the two guy is, and who's going to play on nickel for us. And that'll reveal itself, let the players do that with their competition and their execution.
How's Quincy come along? Finished strong last year. How's he been in offseason?
Quincy's done a really good job with his conditioning. You know, he's changed his body considerably in terms of his lean mass and his body fat, and he's looking the best he's looked. He's done a nice job so far this spring, and he's competing his tail off here this fall.
Is that something the team wanted him to do, or is that something he just did on his own?
I think he started to do that a little bit last year. You know, if you watch him just from the day we got here until now, I think it's been a slow progression, and I think it's something that him and Rusty and the strength staff and the training staff got together and said, hey, these are the numbers, let's look at it. He's done a great job of changing his body. And now you're starting to see it on the field in terms of his quickness, in terms of his coverage ability, and he's doing a real nice job.
Matt, you drafted him to fit this scheme. Are you able to see that right away? I mean, I'm sure you saw it on tape. But when you get out here and you start putting the pads on, are you able to see, like, an Okereke and DJ Speed fit the scheme well? Or does it still take a little bit of time to sort of?
No, I think that when you have a scouting staff, you know, Chris and his staff have drafted or acquired players to this system in their past. So I think the learning curve for them and then the product on the field is short. And that's a benefit that we have here. We have a system that was coveted by the Colts that we play, that has been played here before, and they understand what it takes and what it needs to be for each player to play each position.
Now, with your defensive ball line, you look at some of the sizes, maybe you compare them to the other teams, maybe you look undersized, right? But you guys were good against the run last year. Even though they're giving up, you know, a lot of weight number-wise, how do those guys account for that? And is it just the speed that's overwhelmed?
We're going to play with eight guys, so we're going to rotate guys in there, and they're going to play our style, or else they wouldn't be in there. That's number one. And then we do a lot of different things up front. You know, we have the capability of, you know, moving different directions, going straight, shifting to different fronts, moving around. So I think that benefits smaller type athletes, and that's the way this system's been for a long time. And it's relied on quickness and athletic ability of the defensive lineman, and we're going to continue to do that.
Now, when Jabal isn't out there, well, what are you guys missing?
Well, Jabal's just a great pro. His experience and his leadership, number one, And he's great at fundamentals and technique in terms of not only himself, but teaching those to the young guys. So I talked to him yesterday. He's doing well. He's excited about getting back. But he's a definite leader for us.
What does Anthony Walker bring to your defense? I know when you guys drafted Bobby, there was a lot of talk about those two in competition. It seemed like at times Anthony's been a bit overlooked.
Yeah, Anthony's done a great job. I think Anthony Walker is a consummate pro. He's also a leader for us. He does a great job in leadership in terms of teaching the other guys, showing them how, telling them why, and we couldn't ask anything more to Anthony Walker in terms of his effort and his execution.
Could you see him and Bobby in a hybrid role where they're splitting time on passing downs versus run?
Yeah, that's all going to reveal itself as we go. You know, we're all looking at different combinations and what we're doing right now.
What steps can Darius take it to the next level for next season?
Yeah, Darius is just working on the basics. You know, and when you look at things, you say, well, I got to do something special or something different. And that's never the case. You got to work on fundamentals and techniques and do what you do better. And that's what he's trying to do.
Even after the numbers you put up a year ago?
Just approach it. I mean, I'm approaching it now. I'm in training camp. It came back so fast. Just go out here and have fun, man. Just do what I do. There's nothing really to it. Just work on the things I need to get better at and then just go out there and have fun, play football.
T.Y. always talked about him and Andrew. It doesn't matter how long the layoff is, they have that connection.
Yeah.
Are you building that now with them as well?
Y'all was out here practice yesterday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we doing it. It's going to be there. We doing it.
What's your impression so far of Paris Campbell?
It's really hard to tell when you're in practice, you know. You guys asked me that same question after, like, preseason game two. A lot of rookies, man, you know, they either take the high road or they take the low road. There's never an in-between for a rookie. So, you know, I hope he does the best. We need him to open it up for me to do my thing a little bit more. And then, and allow me to open it up for him and T.Y. as it trickles down. But we'll see how it goes, man. You know, rookies have got some learning to do.
Hey, Eric, when you look at this offense and the skill position players that you guys are working with, that cover is pretty full, man.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys make sure everybody realizes the goal is team first, win first?
Yep.
Don't worry about those, you know, individual accolades.
Yep.
Because if that happens, it could cause problems.
I don't think we ever worried about individual accolades, man. That's what make our team so good. And there's no individual on this team. There isn't no one like, man, you know, man, I better get this, you know, this catch right now. No, T.Y. don't care. I don't care. Jack doesn't care. Marlon Mack doesn't care how many carries. We want to win, I think. And that's what makes our group so tight-knit. I think that's what makes it so much fun to come here and work. We don't care about individual accolades. Those come with wins. So as long as we're winning, you know, it doesn't matter.
It help having a quarterback like Andrew, really, like, you know what?
Exactly. I mean, you gotta. Everybody has to be on the same page. Everybody has to run the right route. Everybody has to run the route, you know, to precision, because you don't know when that ball is coming. And that's what makes it. And that's why, you know, you can't care who gets the ball or who's not, because with Andrew at quarterback, you know somebody. It's about just making plays for our team to win. And you make those plays, then it's good.
How long did it take you to learn that with the KC?
After like the first game, I mean, we took a loss. We took a loss to the fumble. We all went and picked up Jack because it wasn't Jack's fault. We were like, you know what? I could have did this better. We could have did this better. We should have all did this better. And after that, it was just like, you know, this is a team. This isn't, everybody came back to the locker room next time ready to work. You know, and it was just a totally different like mindset. There wasn't no down plan. It wasn't nobody's fault. We let Jack down, if you want to put it in perspective, because we put him in that position to have to, you know, to do that. So it just, that's when I felt like this team was like the ultimate team.
Is that when you bought into the Colts?
I bought it to the Colts when I signed. I would have took my butt somewhere else.
Eric, I know you've mentioned you want that touchdown record.
Uh-huh.
Is there a way you can not get that record, or maybe not have 13 touchdowns this year?
There's always a possibility. I mean, I'm... who knows? I might have 5 touchdowns this year, or I might have 13 or 14 touchdowns this year. I'm not dependent on that. Do I want the record? Records are meant to be broken. So that's my goal. That's my ultimate goal. If it happens this year or next year, it's going to happen. I feel like I'm capable of doing it, and I feel like I can break that record.
If you don't get to that number 13, whatever it is, in what ways can you?
I've really been working on my blocking, man. I feel like, you know, I've had a talk with the coaches, and I've really tried to emphasize that because I do want to be on the field more with Jack. I do want to help him out. And I feel like if I'm able to, you know, step up my blocking game, then I'd be a better asset to our team because there's a lot of schemes and stuff and things that I want to be implemented in, and that's only going to work is if I improve with myself.
Eric, 66, too high, too low?
Next question.
A lot of people take the social media approach that they don't look at what people are writing or saying. You're kind of the opposite. You retweet, you make mentions. Oh, yeah. Why do you take that approach?
Because I speak my mind. I am who I am, and I'm never going to change for nobody. So, I mean, if you want to say something about me, if you ain't saying it to my face, then it is what it is. That's just kind of how I was raised, man. You know, you get people on social media like, dude, you know, take the high road. Yeah, whatever. You can get some of this, too. I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, it's just me. It was cool, you know? Nothing like, you know, having to go backside and hit a big defensive end that outweighs you by 20 pounds. I'm going to go in there and get some neck treatment, but I'm all right. Nah, it was fun, man. Our defense kicked our butts. I think it was kind of even, but they had a lot more energy than we did, and hopefully we'll pick it up tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody.
Back on.
You know, at some point, you just feel like a baby deer out there, you know, a little fawn just kind of running around. It just feels different. But then you kind of smash heads a little bit and you're back into it. So I'm sure tomorrow will probably look a little better than today, but you just have to take it one day at a time.
Has it been unique having all 5 starters back, just the camaraderie, I guess, so far? I know it's only been a few days.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the last, I think, you know, last year, I think we had, you know, there was probably 3 of us that were, you know, consistently staying in there and with the ones. But to have all 5 guys back is pretty special. I don't think I've ever had that since I've been here. You know, we have a few additions to the room, you know, and those guys are great. You know, they push the tempo, push the competition level up in the room, and that's all you can ask for. But it's great, you know, even having Jacoby in there, you know, and not having Andrew, it still feels great to have, you know, the 5 guys all back. So.
Do you have any hats that say run the damn ball?
I do.
You do?
I do.
You wear them all summer?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, Frank either. Is all in on the run game this year. That's got to be 2 years you like that.
Yeah, we love it. I mean, I think it was the Texans game and then the Patriots game. I think we threw the ball 60 times each game, and that's obviously, we found that out was not a success factor and not a great way to win games. So, I think the Bills game was that first turnaround where we decided to commit to the run game, rush for over 200 yards. And, you know, Frank said it, like, this year we want to rush for over 2,000 yards. And I think that's a goal of ours, you know, and it starts now. It starts in the technique and fundamentals we put in today.
Football?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be smash mouth. I mean, you have to go to the line knowing that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter what look, you know, we're going to handle it. We're going to, you know, keep driving our feet and make those 2-yard gains look into 5-6-yard gains. And then I think at the end of the day, our receivers and everybody's so committed to it that that's what really springs those long runs from Marlon and all the guys back there.
Do you have physical guys on either side of you, like Lewinsky and Nelson? Does that inspire you up, though, to run the ball?
Yeah, I mean, all 5 guys. I mean, everybody's so different in everything that we do, and everybody's got such a specific job and different job. But I think at the end of the day, like, it's O-line mentality, no matter who you are, no matter what level you are. Like, moving a guy from where he is to where he doesn't want to go, it's a pretty incredible feeling. So that's obviously the goal every time. A lot. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's you can only work out and, you know, lift and squat and all that stuff so much that you miss the guys. You miss being around them, miss being out here, you know, in the 85-degree heat for 2 hours and just grinding it out. I mean, it's just at junior high, high school, college, everybody's doing this right now. And this is the fun part about it. I mean, as much as it sucks sometimes, this is what builds a team. And I think that's, as you get older, you appreciate it.
They always say the quarterback's the hardest position on the field, but do you think – I used to play center myself. Do you agree that it's one of the hardest positions?
Then you know, man. Center's the hardest one. I mean, if I was a tackle, I'd tell you tackle's the hardest position. But, no, I mean, everybody's got a specific job. I mean, like, sometimes my job's easier than the other guys. Yeah. And sometimes I feel bad for Costanzo because he's out there on an island. But then sometimes, you know, he's got help and I don't. So, yeah, it's a give-and-take world, man. But at the end of the day, I think when you play 11 as one, you know, and no man is an island. You can draw strength from others, and I think that's so true. I mean, you have to have the guy next to you. I mean, there's gonna be days where I'm not having a great day or what it is, but I know Quentin or Glozer picked me up, and then vice versa. So that's just the greatest team sport, man. It's football. That's what it is.
Ryan, you see, you know, a variety of defensive lines throughout the league. Your defensive line here, you see often, you know, by contrast, they're probably undersized, right? But I mean, how do those guys have the impact that they do have, just, you know, across the board, despite giving up all the weight that they do? I mean, it's really speed based, basically. I guess is that what it comes down to, or?
I mean, yeah, they're still big guys. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to be like your 340, you know, like squat in the middle and just hang out there. So what they do is very effective, and I've seen guys, you know, when they first came in a different scheme, you know, they were bigger and all that, and like those guys have really worked their ass off to get down weight, and then they sprint down the ball, no matter if it's 40 yards downfield or what. So it's also great for us to practice against that every day. I mean, you're not going to see people slanting and moving every single play, and it can be disruptive to your run game and pass game. So it makes us better. I hope it makes them better too.
How many teams are going away for training camp anymore? Do you like this atmosphere?
I do. You know, I've done Anderson, I've done back at the complex, and I've done this, and this is the best one.
Appreciate it. You kind of anticipate, I'm sure,
yeah,
coming in here. What were your takeaways from it?
It was good. I mean, shows you the NFL speed, NFL size. Guys are big, strong and fast, but I mean, coming in as rookies, we're big and strong and faster too. So, you know, just trying to compete.
You working mostly Mike right now?
Yeah, mostly Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what has been sort of the acclimation in terms of scheme from, you know, what you did in college to here, and just in terms of learning it and, you know, being able to
definitely learning the terminology. Yeah, learning terminology, getting comfortable on the seam. We ran like similar schemes at Stanford, so there's some carryover, but just getting used to Coach Floyd's system.
Cool. Bobby, do you have a preference?
Yeah, play wherever I put me. I think
any one of them fit you better than the other, maybe?
No, I think I have good position flexibility. But like I said, just wherever I feel like it fit best.
Did anything surprise you in the first couple of days that you didn't know before you maybe started Thursday or Friday?
Not really. I mean, just anticipating my speed, the size. Guys are better, especially in the run game, more physical. So just getting ready for that.
Bobby, how much of a help has Anthony Walker been to you in your game?
Extremely. I mean, just watching the film, seeing him as a vet, and all the plays that he's made, seeing him in the right place, the right spot, and seeing how attentive and focused he is in the meeting, it's a great example.
You good?
Bobby, how hard is the defense to grasp? I mean, I know it's based on conceptual principles, but
yep.
Is there any complexities that are hard to understand?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think just it's all new, fresh. So there's certain things you can learn in a meeting room, and then certain things you got to learn on your feet, kind of mess it up a little bit, but, you know, just try to pick it up as fast as you can.
How's the grind of camp so far? I mean, how does it differ from what you're used to in college?
It's good. I mean, in college, I was looking at my college schedule because we're running 3-hour practices, so it's kind of nice. We get like a little hour 40 here, 2:10, and it's definitely a little more fun when you got fans out here cheering on. Kind of, you get that NFL atmosphere.
Sorry if you answered this already, but putting on pads for the first time,
yep,
in the NFL, how was that today for you?
It was fun. It was good to get in there, get in the heat of it. I had a real fun time.
Bobby, I want to give you a chance to respond to what came out last month. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yeah, those were untrue allegations. I willingly complied with the school investigation and was found not responsible. I informed the team about it during the pre-draft process. And right now I'm just focused on making this team and helping this team however I can.